International Olympic Committee officials are in Utah this week to visit the state, inspect facilities, before deciding whether to formally award the 2034 Winter Games to Salt Lake City. That seems like a formality at this point. The IOC is in Utah through Saturday and are scheduled to visit all the venues and discuss all the details around the games. But again, signs look good for 2034 Winter Games to be awarded to Salt Lake City. There will be a funeral service today, Thursday, for Larry Lucchino in Boston at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Back Bay at 11 a.m., where Lucchino's longtime friend and colleague, Dr. Charles Steinberg, will deliver the eulogy. Knowing Dr. Charles like I do, it will be a beautiful, fitting tribute to a life well lived in sports. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, April 11th. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. This is moving faster than I anticipated as the NHL, the Coyotes, and Smith Entertainment Group, the organization headed by Jazz owner Ryan Smith, have reportedly made significant progress on a deal that would see the Coyotes sold and relocated to Salt Lake City. I want to credit Daily Faceoff, which had this report first. We have talked about this on the Buzzcast, but this, like I said, is moving quickly, and a renamed and rebranded team could begin playing in Utah as early as next season. The NHL is reportedly working on two schedules simultaneously. One, if the Coyotes stay in Arizona, and another, if the Coyotes move to Utah. And this comes just a few days after Ryan Smith posted a survey on X asking for suggestions on what to name a team if one were to come to Utah. But some early signs showing that the Coyotes could be on the move to Salt Lake City. Play at Augusta is delayed today on Thursday as a storm moves through, but the rest of the days look absolutely perfect. Sunny and warm all through the weekend. That should make for some great television. A few things to note. Yes, we will see how LIV golfers fare at Augusta. Remember, the majors are a big platform for LIV Golf to showcase their players. And Greg Norman was actually in attendance at Augusta yesterday for the first time in a few years. No, not as a special guest of Augusta, but simply as a patron. Meanwhile, a hat tip to CBS Sports Chair Sean McManus, who is retiring from CBS officially at the end of the Masters this weekend, ending a nearly three-decade run leading that network. What a run for him, one of the class acts in sports. Now, the Masters marks the end of quite a few months for CBS. Remember, they did the Super Bowl, Final Four, and the Masters. So McManus has taken all of those in the past few months. He is so well regarded, so well liked, and such a pro. All of the sports industry will miss him at CBS. We will have more on McManus next week as well. It's not just a big weekend for McManus, but also for Vern Lundquist, as this Masters will be the end, or will mark the end, of his 40-year run commenting for CBS from Augusta National. What a career he's had. What a great voice. What a great connection to Augusta. Well done, Vern Lundquist. So again, this Masters marks the end of an era for McManus and Lundquist. Let's move on. Fanatics is growing into another vertical line of business. Events. They are getting into the event business and will host its first flagship event called Fanatics Fest New York City. It'll be held this August at the Javits Center. Now, there has been a lot of discussion in the sports industry of holding this type of sports and cultural event, and this multi-day event in New York City will sit in the middle of fandom, collectibles, pop culture. There'll be presentations, there'll be product drops, there'll be obviously news announcements, there'll be audio and video and podcasts, there'll be appearances by the likes of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Derek Jeter and others. Think of it as a big trade show for sports, culture, and collectibles. And this was a concept I first heard about years ago It was actually going to take place in Las Vegas. Remember, the NBA does its NBA con around Summer League, and now Fanatics Events is testing this event, Fanatics Fest New York City, this summer in August. This should be an interesting test case. I do think there's great potential for this kind of trade show for sports fans. And you talk about the building blocks of any sports property, and it starts around exposure of your product. And earlier this week, we talked about how women's basketball could build on this past historic month. Well, here's an example of the building blocks of a sports growth. The Indiana Fever, who are slated to pick Caitlin Clark with the number one overall pick on Monday night at the WNBA draft, will be the most televised team in the WNBA this season. So that's a smart, expected move. But the Fever will have 36 of their 40 games on national television this coming season. And their 36 appearances beat out all the other teams. It beats out the defending champion Aces and the runner-up New York Liberty. So this is a smart, expected move to try and draw as many eyeballs and as much attention to the W and Caitlin Clark as possible, with the hopes of elevating viewership numbers and, again, just more exposure. Now, 8 of those games will be on ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. So, again, trying to maximize and amplify the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark. Staying with women's basketball, noted ratings expert Mike Mulvihill of Fox Sports shared some interesting insight into the breakdown of viewers for the men's and women's final this past week. Here is what stood out to me. Among females 12 to 17 years old, the women's final outdrew the men's final by a whopping 200%. 200%. Among boys 2 to 11, it outdrew the men's final 108%. Among girls 2 to 11, it was 97%. And women 65 and older, it outdrew the men's final by more than 80%. Now, the men's final beat the women's final in two demographics, men 18 to 34 and men 35 to 49. And yes, the time of the game certainly was a factor in these data points. You had one game in the afternoon that should draw a younger audience. The other game was much later in prime time that drew an older audience. But it shows the appeal and draw of the women's game among young viewers and women, two growth categories very important to the future of sports. And finally, congratulations to Megan Hughes Allison, who has been promoted from managing director to president at Underdog Venture Team. Now, Underdog Venture Team is one of several marketing agencies owned jointly by the equity firm New Spring Holdings and by Dan Mannix and his Underdog and Company. Now, Megan Hughes Allison was a game changer honoree in 2019. She will continue to be based in Charlotte and direct a team of about 25 employees. She replaces Nicole Jeter West, who left the company in November. So again, congratulations to Megan Hughes Allison, well known in the sports agency world, for being promoted to president of Underdog Venture Team. And that is your Morning Buzzcast for Thursday, April 11th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Friday.